He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Every week we check in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband. What's going on?
A little bit of chaos, Anna.
Why?
So we're renewing our wedding vows this year. It's our 10-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a dress and all that. Nothing super fancy, but I thought it was going to be really easy. Like, you know, it's not the first wedding, and it's not. It's super stressful, and I can't find a dress, and I'm sad.
But wait a minute. When's your wedding anniversary? Isn't it?
It's June 1st.
Wait a minute. Why are you looking now? You've got a whole time.
You know that everything is shipping late right now. I actually have to shop the rack. Wedding dresses take 9 months to come in.
What are you going to do for the 10-year renewal? Are you going to have like a party?
No, we're going to the Bahamas.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a party in the Bahamas. It's going to be great.
How come I wasn't invited? Who's invited?
Oh, you're invited. You want to go?
You're invited.
Yeah.
No, one of us has to work, Raven. Hold on.
You know what? Well, I mean, just let somebody know. They can meet us down at the Royal Bahamian and bring the gear, and it would be great.
That's so exciting.
It is, but I was like, this is no big deal. Like, they do everything over there. I don't have to do much. But I literally feel like I'm planning the first wedding all over again. Like, it makes me sick to my stomach, some of the stuff, when I'm stressing about it. And planning from another country? Holy cow. Yeah, totally different ballgame.
I mean, what the heck? Why did you put so much stress on yourself?
Anna, I've been telling you, Alicia wanted a wedding do-over. I have been telling you. You think these were lies?
Yeah.
You think I was like, yeah, you thought I was lying.
I compromised. I didn't get the whole big wedding, so we're doing the vacation with a small vow renewal. So.
She got a big wedding the first time. Now she's getting a big vacation. Right. It should be pointed out, but it's going to be great.
It's going to be great. On the beach in the Bahamas, you can't really go wrong. It's going to be fantastic.
Yes.
So that's exciting.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So how's he been supporting you in all this? Are you going to get a tux, Raven?
No, I'm not going to get a tux. I'm actually allowed shorts because they've seen how much I sweat when I'm in the Bahamas.
Okay.
I'm going to pick the shorts. He's allowed shorts, a white button-up shirt. He can't do the short sleeve one. He's got to do the long sleeve one with the sleeves rolled up because it looks a little classier.
Okay. It's going to be great. Just give me a mojito. Another mojito.
Yeah. All right. I mean, it sounds like fun. It sounds great. So all this planning, he's been on board by your side and being supportive?
Yeah, yeah. He didn't argue any of it. You know, I'm actually going to look for a dress today, so we'll see how that works out. You know,
the plot twist,
I didn't
see
today. Turn on the waterworks.
Oh, no. See? I knew this was going to happen. We had an agreement that this would not happen.
Oh.
I don't.
You told me, I'm just going to get a cheap dress. It's going to be a little thing. It's right on the beach. I probably won't even wear it all day. You told me. Right.
Cheap dresses don't exist.
Oh, right. So now she's going to cry. And that means that I'm going to get another bill for a dress, like a serious dress?
No. I mean, no. Not super expensive.
Yeah, yes. Anna, you heard what she said, right? Yes.
Listen, there's very few times where I just quiet down, but I know in my heart this is one of those times where I just quiet down. You got to deal with this. All right, what kind of grade would you like to give Raven for the week? I'm going to guess it's going to be pretty good.
I mean, he's getting an A, Anna. He survived, you know, sickness, sinus infection this week, and second wedding planning. So, yeah, he gets an A.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. 1-800-330-9999. Raven, if you wear a bra and biker shorts on your flight, that's all I need to know about you.
I mean, I thought I was going to be comfortable, all right? People shouldn't be judging and be in my business. I thought it would just be comfortable for flying.
You're crazy. So Olivia Culpo, she's a former Miss Universe actress. She dates NFL guys. Remember, she dated Tim Tebow. All right, so she was getting on a flight, American Airlines flight, heading down to Cabo, and... She, like, showed up in biker shorts and a sports bra. Like, that's what she was wearing on the plane. And American Airlines had to be like, can you please put a blouse on? And I quote, they used the word blouse, which is a conversation for another time.
Right, that's your grandmother. That's what your grandmother calls it.
I'm pretty sure Olivia Culpo doesn't have a blouse with her. But anyway. and I was thinking about it because I was looking at what she was wearing. I mean, she's like, it's fine, I guess, if you're going to the gym. She looks kind of normal, and it seems to be on trend and all that.
Sure.
But all I kept thinking about is, like, aren't you going to be cold? Aren't you? And then the best part was that her boyfriend, the guy from the Panthers, had to take off his sweatshirt and put it on her so she could take the flight. Mm-hmm. And on the flight, there's like video of him freezing. He's just like in a t-shirt. He's got his arms inside the t-shirt trying to keep himself warm. And it's like, when you get on a plane, you got to expect the fact that it's going to be 3 degrees on there, and you have to be warm, right?
I mean, yeah, all that aside, I mean, you're going to Cabo, so obviously you're going to get off the plane, it's immediately going to be hot. And if you've ever flown into Florida and you're wearing, like, full pants and a shirt or whatever, you get off the plane, it's miserable. So I usually fly for comfort, but that means sweatpants, all right? That means, like, a shirt. That means, like, you know, some sandals or slippers or something like that. It doesn't mean, you know, a bra, especially, too, when you're spilling out of it. I mean, you know the rules. That's all I'm saying is if you want to fly like that, fly private, right? Because you know everybody's getting called out all the time. Don't act like you're a victim because you got called out. That's all I'm saying.
Your plane outfit is similar to mine. I wear leggings, black leggings, sneakers, T-shirt. Sweatshirt over it. Like, that is always like my uniform for when I get on a flight. When I see people get all dressed up to fly, like they used to do, like in the old days. Remember, it used to be like a big thing to fly. You would wear like dresses and stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right? It blows my mind. It blows my mind. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
It's a high pitched whistle. That's all I need to know about you. It's annoying.
High pitched whistle.
High pitched whistle.
Can you give me an example?
You know how some people, they come in the room and it's just like, or loud whistling, and it just pierces through your ear.
Mm.
You know what my husband did the other
day? I'm just not into whistling.
I understand. Whistling, I find to be incredibly annoying. Raven is a whistler.
I am a whistler. Yep. Yeah. From time to time, yeah.
Are you? Oh, wow. Well, we all have faults. It's okay.
That's right.
Thank you.
The other thing is when somebody scrapes the bottom of the pan, like it makes that sound with the metal against the metal. Like, why do we need to do that?
What if I'm whistling while eating out of a pan with a metal spoon? Oh, yeah.
You're fired. You're fired. It's over.
You know, Paul was doing this thing the other day. He came to my doctor's appointment with me, and he, like, mumbles things when he's, like, in waiting rooms. Mm-hmm. So he'll be, like, on his phone while we're sitting there waiting for the doctor to see us, and there'll be other people in the waiting room, and he'll be like, you could only imagine how that drives me crazy. So I'm elbowing him and I'm giving him the death stare. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he's like, what? And he's on his phone. Like, what are you doing? Isn't that crazy?
You've told me that he started doing this while he's eating, too. He's doing the
I don't know what his need is to make excess noise. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, I'm going to give you a secret. I think he's doing it to drive you insane.
You might be right. 1-800-330-9999. What's that thing that drives you nuts? The unspoken rules of American culture. So I was reading this article and it came up with, like, what are the unspoken rules of being an American? And I was looking over it and I was like, these are all really accurate. Like, Raven, when dining out, the waiter comes to you. It's considered rude to call the waiter over.
Yes.
Yeah,
that makes absolutely sense.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, who knew that other countries it wasn't like that? Do not get out of the car to greet the officer when you're pulled over by a cop. You stay in the car and let the officer come to you.
Yeah, it's a good way to get tased.
Right, but, like, whoever said that? It's just an unspoken rule,
no, I'm
right?
pretty sure that's in the DMV handbook, but okay,
oh, okay.
All right.
Be careful never to trespass on private property. Right, like in other countries, like when I visit family in Italy, they just walk right through farms and stuff like that. It's not like it is here where you're like, what are you doing on my lawn, kid? No.
Does nobody have dogs over in Europe?
I mean, they're fine.
Nobody has a dog that's like, what are you doing here? This is my yard, okay.
Not really. They kind of just wander free.
I guess.
Never cut in line. I saw that a lot in Europe. Like, we never cut in line. What are you, crazy? I waited for this spot. And there's a lot of countries where that whole getting in line thing is not a real thing. They just kind of just go wherever they want to go.
Oh, man.
It's chaos.
You know what? I'm so glad I'm an American.
Talking about your salary, talking about somebody's weight, driving too slow in the left-hand side lane, you know?
Yeah, yeah. All those make sense. Unspoken or spoken or not. I mean, those are good rules so far. I don't really have a problem with any of those.
It's funny how all of these are things that we all just do, but no one ever actually taught us. Like, when you go for a second round at the buffet, you always get a new plate. You never reuse the plate that you used for the first round.
Well, of course
not. How did we know? But how? How did you know that?
I mean, have you read the signs at the buffet? Usually it says, get a new plate.
Well, I've never seen a sign at a buffet that says, get my own new plate.
I think you were so focused on getting back to the food that maybe you missed it, but it would be there.
So we asked on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, we said, well, what are the unspoken rules of your house? Amanda wrote, we eat our ice cream after the kids go to bed so we don't have to share with them. Fair.
Well, it's $5 a pint. I mean, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Bridget wrote, you don't use the decorative towels. All my husband's friends have been yelled at.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use that decorative towel. Absolutely.
You know, I hate decorative towels, but I understand the rule.
Jacqueline said, take your shoes off at the door. Mm.
That's a tough one. Some people are there with that. Some people are not. I never wear shoes in my own house. I prefer if people don't wear shoes in my house, but I don't usually ask people to take off their shoes in my house. You know, I figure I'll just clean it.
I have no rules in my house about that. I don't care what you do, but I always find it interesting to watch when people come in, whether or not they automatically take them off or they don't.
Sure. Or if they offer, but a lot of times they'll offer and they don't actually mean it. They definitely don't want to do it, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's not their intention to do it. They're just hoping that you'll dismiss them. That way they don't have to feel guilty.
Raven, do you have unspoken rules at your house?
100%. Sure.
What are they?
The dogs are in charge. So, you know, you walk in, even if my dogs misbehave, and they do, when you first arrive, my dogs are really, really loud. They're those loud dogs. But you got to acknowledge them and say hello. Don't be afraid. I mean, I get it. They can be scary, but don't be afraid. If you say hello, they're going to calm down. So you just got to deal with that. The remote is mine. Okay. If I don't hand you the remote control in my house, don't ever touch the remote control in my house. Like, if you change the channel on me like that, that's going to be bad. And then number three, nobody ever uses the bathroom downstairs. I mean, you can go to the bathroom downstairs. You can't go number two downstairs. You can't do that. I mean, that should be a rule in anybody's house.
Okay, that seems fair.
Take it upstairs.
I'm thinking the only unspoken rule I have in my house, and my family knows it, is that when I say that's enough, everybody has to back down because they know mommy's about to pop off.
Everybody's got to go about 10 dB lower. That way they know.
Right. What's the grossest thing your family member does? 1-800-330-9999. We received this text, Raven, on our text line. It's got to be at least a week and a half ago. And for some reason, it has stuck with me. So, because I had copied and pasted it because I found it so disturbing. And it says, my cousin, a 62-year-old woman, always peels the skin off the turkey right when I take it out of the oven. This year, she ate half of the skin before I even caught her. It's so gross. It's the grossest thing my family member does. I was thinking about it because I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, it's one thing if it's your turkey
right.
and I do whatever you want. But you go to somebody else's house that spent all morning, you know, probably making that turkey, had to get up at 5 a.m. to make that turkey. And you're going to go into the kitchen. And you're just going to start peeling skin off it. I found that to be so disgusting.
Yeah.
Right?
It is gross. Yeah, there's no way around it. That's actually gross. It's tough. You know, the turkey takes a long time to cook, right? Mm-hmm. So you're smelling it and dealing with the smells of it the entire time. You want to eat it. And you think that if you just pull a little bit off, nobody will really realize. But if somebody catches you, especially gross. That's gross.
So I started thinking about it. I'm like, family members do gross things. So we asked on our Facebook page, we asked, like, what's the gross thing your family member does? And we'll get to all that. But Raven, so many people agreed that they do that too, and it's not gross. And I was like, am I living a make-believe world? Like, you go to somebody else's house and you start peeling skin off their turkey and you think that's cool?
I can't imagine even for a moment.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the gross thing your family member does?
All right, so my grandpa's just one of those, like, old guys that's just becoming a creepy old guy. And whenever we have parties or at restaurants, is always, like, hitting on, like, all the young girls. And I think he thinks it's funny, but, you know, at least it's not, like, the girls he's related to, or at least he remembers he's related to. But
right.
It's just, like, I don't think he realizes, like, it's creepy this day and age. Like, you can't talk to girls like that.
Imagine he accidentally forgets that it's his granddaughter and he makes a pass. You know, Grandpa! Oh, my gosh.
We're just cousins. It's great-granddaughter or
something
like that.
Yeah, it's more like that. You know? Yeah. It's like he knows the granddaughters, but the extended family, he doesn't know who's who.
It's a whole different level of gross right there. Yeah.
I don't know what it is about grandpa. So my grandfather-in-law kind of does that, too. And he does it in front of grandma. So, like, I mean, I don't. When does that rule no longer apply that it doesn't matter that your spouse is there, that you can just hit on everybody else around you? What age is that?
And it's gross. It's so gross. Mm. And it's funny because the older they are, the harder it is to be like, hey, that's inappropriate.
Yeah, they're never going to change. I mean, they don't care. My grandfather-in-law wears those shoes that have, it's like the toe shoes. You know what I mean? Like, you can see all of his toes, and he'll wear them anywhere. It's so weird. And you'll look over and he's like wiggling his toes.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to see that, man.
That is gross.
It is, right?
Yeah. Sometimes your family members, they just nasty. It's the grossest thing your family member does. 1-800-330-9999. Anne on Raven.
Well, another father-in-law story. He blows his nose at the table.
Oh, God, does he use a handkerchief?
Yes, or a napkin or my mother-in-law's sleeve, whatever he can get his hands on.
Oh, my God.
But it is gross.
Yeah, the handkerchief is the grossest invention ever. I mean, it's right up there, right? I know that we needed them back in the day because we didn't have paper towels and we didn't have napkins or Kleenex. We needed them. But now we don't need them anymore, so we should collect them and burn them. That's what we should do.
On our Facebook page, Allison wrote, "They blow their nose with dirty socks." Which I thought was completely disgusting.
My gosh.
Isn't that nasty?
That is terrible.
I can understand using your sleeve or your T-shirt, but, I mean, using a dirty sock, that's nasty, too.
I'd have to be, like, hanging off the side of a cliff. It'd be the only thing handy, you know? like, it'd have to be an emergency if I'm going to use the sock.
Speaking of dirty socks, that's the nastiest thing my family member does, and it's my husband. He leaves his dirty socks all over the house. I find them on the couch, on the kitchen counter. I mean, I've complained about this before. You think that he would be shamed enough to stop doing it? Nope. You turn around, right in the bathroom sink. Let's just leave them right there. Does that make any sense? Doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense. The fact that they'd be on the kitchen counter. Socks, they're on your feet.
Leave
them on the ground.
I'll never understand. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the gross thing your family member does?
My twin sister never washes her sheets. Like, I swear, she never washes them, not once, ever. It is so disgusting.
Like, ever in the history of life?
Never, ever. They've been on her bed forever and ever. Amen.
That can't be real. Come on. I mean, you're just seeing it at the wrong time. Like, she's got to wash those sheets at some point, right?
Imagine you take the corner off and you do that thing where you wave it up and down and it's just all you see is skin particles flying all over the room, the light coming in through the window, and it's just pounds of skin all over.
That is gross.
Yeah. Why? Do you ask her why?
She's lazy. She doesn't want to do it.
Mm.
I mean, listen, I shared a room with her for 16 years and she never washes them.
That's gross. That's gross. My wife is the opposite. She's the over sheet washer, which drives me insane because every time she strips that bed, it's the worst day of my life to put that bed back together. It's always the worst time.
But how good do you feel when you get into those brand new sheets and they smell so good and clean and sometimes warm out of the dryer? Oh,
I do like that feeling. I just wish that she'd throw me a parade every time I heroically made the bed after she stripped it.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Grossest thing your family member does.
I was thinking about dirty dishes. Every time we go over there, it's like their dishes are disgusting. Like, they'll hand you a glass of water and it'll kind of slip out of your hand or there's stuff floating in it. And like, just give me 5 minutes here. I'm going to go wash, like, what we're going to have. Oh, it's leaving.
Is it parents? Are you talking about your parents' house?
Right. Whose house is this, man?
No, this is my brother's house.
He's
like the older brother who has to host. Like, so disgusting.
Yeah, that's gross, man.
As a, you know, because I was a realtor for many years in my past life, there is nothing nastier than walking into a real dirty house. And you know the minute you open that door, you smell it. Like, there is something. I just don't know how some people live like that, right?
Funny thing, though, about dishes. It's like your analogy with hair, Anna. Hair is completely normal. Dishes are completely normal. Dirty dishes are in all of our lives. But if you see somebody else's,
it's so nasty.
What's that doing there, man? Mm-hmm. What's that hair doing on the counter? What's that dirty dish doing in that sink? Well, it belongs there, but it's disgusting.
On our text line, somebody wrote that their 62-year-old cousin peels all the skin off the turkey when it comes out of their oven and eats it. And I just thought that was so nasty. It's not your turkey. What you doing peeling other people's turkeys?
Well, the thing is, I don't want to see anybody's hands on the actual meat if it's going to be served to everybody. Forget it.
Right? I thought that was so gross. There's a little bit of debate on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven whether or not that's okay. But got me thinking, like, some family members, they just nasty. What's the grossest thing your family member does? 1-800-330-9999.
My mom has a really bad habit. So she eats leftovers. And I don't mean like the kind that's like in the refrigerator. She'll eat leftovers like on someone's plate. Like, they've eaten half their quiche and she'll eat the rest of it, and she won't even know, like, whose plate it came from or who ate it.
Wow.
Oh, wait a minute. So it's not like she's eating your leftovers off your plate. It's like just randoms?
It's your plate, my plate, anybody's plate.
Exactly. It's anybody's plate. It's like free for all. Like, it's just crazy. It's disgusting and crazy.
That's different generations. Like, you can see maybe there's food shortages right around your mom. She's like, I was taught to clear that plate.
I mean, I don't know. She's not depression era. She's not that old, but.
I think anybody in your immediate family, it's okay. I think you go outside of your immediate family and it's gross, right?
I guess.
Absolutely. And I'm talking about, like, parties at the house, like dinner parties. She does this stuff.
Oh, that's nasty. Yeah. Is that Uncle Larry's half-eaten quiche? It's disgusting.
The next-door neighbor.
You going to throw that quiche out? You going to waste all that quiche? What's going on over there?
Hi, Ann and Raven. Grossest thing your family member does.
I have that uncle, and he's that guy that always has a toothpick in his mouth. Like, I don't get it, but he, worse than that, he leaves them. He leaves them around the house. It's a table, bathroom. I find them everywhere. Yet, he always has one in his mouth.
Are you guys serving an abundance of steak or ribs at your house? Like, what's happening? Pulled pork sandwiches again for breakfast, everybody.
It's disgusting. Yeah.
My dad's a toothpick guy.
Is he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he likes, I don't even know, he looks like a squirrel. What, it's in his mouth? His mouth is
moving
rapidly. Right. I'm like, what are you doing? Are you able to maneuver the toothpick like some kind of ninja sword inside your mouth? Yeah, without his hands.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. He's like a ninja of the toothpick in his mouth. <That's crazy. laughs> Can you tie a stem of a cherry in your mouth?
I mean, he better be able to if he can do all that. Why is it always an uncle, too? I do have a friend. He's a matchstick guy, which is even stranger to me. Like,
wait,
and
his mouth?
And he's not a smoker, either. So
wait.
What are you doing carrying around this matchstick all the time?
Yes. In his mouth?
Yes, like he's Cobra Cabretti, like an old action figure or something. It's crazy.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the grossest thing your family member does?
My father-in-law, he'll take out his teeth at just the most random times. in the middle of dinner. Middle of dinner sometimes.
Oh, maybe, man.
When he's on the couch watching TV, out they come. It's gross.
It is gross. Like, I know that dentures are a thing. I know a lot of people have dentures. But when you see just a random thing of teeth on the side somewhere, it's jarring.
Yeah. It shocked me. I didn't even know he had fake teeth for a while. And then all of a sudden they were out. I was like, what?
Sometimes Alicia's grandfather, sometimes he'll come over without him even with him. Like when you left the house without your teeth? Like, how'd you do that? Like, what?
Joe Judge, he is the Giants coach that got fired, just let go. And he's going viral because there's pictures all over the internet of the front of his house, which FYI, paparazzi, leave the guy alone. He just got fired. What are you doing hanging out outside the front of his house?
No, come on. This is what comes with being the coach of a team that's in New York. I mean, it's the media capital of the United States. Of course, people are all over his property and they're in your face. Listen, if you take a job in New York sports, either as a player or as somebody that runs it, Anna, you're on the hot seat from day one. That's the way it works.
Well, what he had delivered to his house, and if I'm looking at this correctly, looks about 7 cases of beer, like 30 packs, Coors Light, Michelob Ultra, I see some Coronas on top, and 9 cheese pizzas. Like, what?
Is there anybody at his house? Like, when something bad happens to you, a certain amount of people are going to come over and they're going to grieve with you, right? Like, if it's a funeral, he lost a family member or something like that. He lost a big job. And while I'm sure plenty of his friends and family are reaching out on the phone or whatever, most people, his family, if they live in New York, they don't want to show up right now. They know the cameras are out front. So it's not like he's having a party. So this is essentially for him. This is him and the dogs. That's what it is.
It's a sadness meal. You know when something bad happens to you in your life and like you're always trying to eat healthier and trying to be good and make better decisions and cut corners. But when something terrible happens, you just let yourself have anything I want. You know what? There are no rules whatsoever. When something bad happens, you can have a cheat meal or, you know, since I had my surgery, I feel like it's a cheat 2 weeks I've been having. You know?
All right. So what is your sadness meal then? What did you have after your surgery? You wake up. They're like, okay, you're going to survive this now. You can fill your gullet. What did you have?
Well, I went home from the surgery. Now, remember, I was only supposed to have surgery on my right knee. I ended up having to have surgery on both my legs.
Yeah.
And I was just so bummed out and all of it. So we ordered takeout. And much like Joe Judge, I got pizza, baked ziti.
Okay.
Then we got some appetizers like hot antipasta and cold antipasta. And then after I finished all of that and I held nothing back, I sent my husband to the ice cream shop to get me a giant sundae. And when he brought me back my favorite sundae and told me he only got one so we could share it,
what?
I cried. I go, what do you mean you didn't get one for yourself? He's like, well, we always share. I go, why not being good? This is my sadness
right.
meal.
What
What's
kind of
wrong
idiot
with you?
Are you?
Right, yes.
Right. My loyal husband who's going to take care of me the next 2 months. Oh, man, this is how we start.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there was no beer, wine, liquor involved because I can't have any of that because of my medications.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, right. That's true, huh?
What would be your sadness meal?
For me, you know, it's thinking about it. Jeez, I've had a few of these in my lifetime, right? So if nobody's watching, there's no rules. I'm not going to be guilted about it by my wife or anything. There's no calories. Probably McDonald's for lunch. I mean, I'll have bagels in the morning. I'll have bagels in the morning with all the cream cheese. Doesn't matter. Biggest bagel, biggest cream cheese if I want. McDonald's for lunch, and I'll get an extra McChicken. Why not? Giant sub for dinner. Doesn't matter where I am. If you only make a 10-inch or a 12-inch, I'm going to need one of your giants and a half then. That's okay. What I'm going to need because it's got to be like 16-inch. And then beers and either Tito's and Sprite or, you know, Gentleman Jack or, you know, lovely Fireball if I'm going real classy, pinky out later on to fire it up.
My bigger question about all this is, what's he doing with 2 30-packs of Michelob Ultralight?
Well, he's got to interviews. He's got to get another job. It's a big house. You can see it in these photos. It's still a big house. He's got to pay for it. He's got to keep that waistline tight.
I don't know. It's like he's having a big frat party at his house.
He's got to make that severance stretch.
Bonnie Gregson is a crochet knitting expert. And it's funny, Bonnie, because when you said that you're a better knitter than crocheter, I didn't say anything because the truth of the matter is I didn't know there was a difference.
Yes, there is a difference.
All right. So I'm getting ready to start my masterpiece this weekend as I'm sitting on the couch. I'm going to be crocheting something for the very first time that I'm going to auction off for charity while I can't move because of my broken knee. But of course, the big problem is that I've never crocheted anything in my life. I think it's boring. The fact that you make beautiful things astounds me. Because I don't know how you do it. To me, it seems like it's witchcraft, how you do it.
Aw, thanks.
What are the tips and tricks for a beginner starting to crochet, and I need to finish something in the next 72 hours?
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. So my first tip is to make sure you have the right crochet hook size for the yarn that you have. So I heard that Hayden did some nice shopping for you. Curious, what did she bring back?
She bought a variety pack.
So take a look at what the yarn label recommends in terms of the hook size. So I remember when I was crocheting and I was really struggling with it. I couldn't get the yarn to stay on the hook. I brought my project over to my mom and she was like, oh, your yarn is, the hook size is not big enough for the yarn that you have.
All right, here's the good news. This yarn is size 9. And
okay.
I have the right size hook in my variety pack.
Perfect. All right. So you got the right tools to get started. So the next thing is picking a project that's great for a beginner. Keep it simple. Keep it small so that you have that, you know, feeling like I've accomplished something.
Like an oven mitt or something.
Afghan, giant blanket.
One sock. Maybe right. One sock.
Duvet cover. You tell me. What should I make?
I'm thinking something small. Maybe you can just practice the single crochet stitch. Maybe it's just a dishcloth square, with, you know, in the fun yarns that your daughter picked out.
I mean, all right. Now, just forgive me, and I mean this with all due respect, because my mother is also a knitter and a crocheter.
Mm-hmm.
What
she's bisexual.
What is that thing you just said? What was it? What did you say? You said a dish plate. What?
A dish cloth square.
Yeah.
Just
okay.
A tiny
that
square.
Sounds something tiny. That sounds like something that's tiny. That's like 6 by 6 inches. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. You're right, Anna. This is the perfect project for you.
All right. Third tip is make sure your stitches are not too tight, not too loose either, but not too tight. So keep your stitches kind of on the looser side, but not too loose.
Don't bite off more than you can chew, Anna Zapp.
Right. Yeah. It's like the thing about it was the porridge was too hot,
that's
the porridge
right.
was too cold.
That's
yeah, I said,
right. I'm
I got the middle
about
porridge.
You.
Yeah.
I'm worried about you.
All right. Fourth tip is when you're pulling your crochet hook through the loop, rotate your hand ever so slightly towards you. It's kind of like a hook, you know, grabbing something. You just want to give it a slight rotation to kind of get your way through that loop. Next tip, check out to see if there's like tons of YouTube videos. There's so much tutorials that you can kind of like watch. So much information on YouTube on tutorials.
Yeah, you have to look up though very, very slow. I did this last night because when you watch regular people, they're really fast.
They're fast.
And it's like, yeah, they're like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But if you look up super slow for beginners, they do it like, you know, kind of like how I need it, like for an idiot.
And the last thing is just be patient with yourself. Give yourself like credit for stepping outside of your comfort zone and trying something new.
All right, well, Bonnie,
I know you're going to do great.
I don't know about great, but I'm going to do something. We'll see what it is.
I mean, that was a lot of tips.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday, where you let us know what you did this week, Mama, to earn your margarita. But the doorbell just rang, Raven. I think I got a package.
Oh, you know, I love to unpackage stuff. Let's get that in here.
Is it more fruit? I've gotten 2 fruit baskets. We have so much fruit in this house.
Really?
Every day, I'm like, guys, we got to eat the fruit.
It's a pressure, right? It's always going to go bad, right?
Yeah. let's see what I got. Yeah. I got a couple of those.
Was I supposed to send you something?
I mean, it would have been nice.
Wow.
I had major surgery.
I mean.
I'm just kidding. You don't have to send me anything.
You send me an edible arrangement when I had knee surgery.
What are you talking? We weren't working together. Hold on.
Let's see what do we got here.
Ham? Did somebody send me a ham? No, right? Well, I can't. Hold on.
Looks big.
The bro basket? Like, what is this? Can you see it?
I can. It looks big and elaborate. It looks like a real gift. I mean, it's wrapped in a shiny wrapping paper like bowl or bag. How much does it weigh? It looks heavy in your lap.
It's really heavy. It's a basket. It's got tequila.
What?
It's got tequila. It's got margarita mix. It's got pretzels, popcorn. Oh, this is so nice. This is perfect for my margaritas. It's somebody that has to know me.
Is it? Are you sure? Maybe they sent it to you thinking it was for me.
Anna, Mommy's Margarita Friday is on us. Enjoy your margarita today. You've earned it. And it's from Compass Media.
Oh, that's
nice. Our group. Oh, thanks, guys. That's so nice.
That's so nice. It sounds like I have to injure myself to get a bottle of tequila.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What'd you do this week to earn your margarita, Mama?
I am teaching my 16-year-old son how to drive.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And it is horrible, but we're doing it.
Oh, no.
It's happening.
I mean, my oldest one is 13, so I have a couple years before this, but this is something I'm terrified. Like, imagine you're in a car, and now you've got your baby next to you, and you have to teach that baby that you birthed and made in your belly how to drive that giant vehicle. Like, to me, that is the most terrifying thing a parent has to do.
People have been doing it for a very, very, very long time. Be patient. He's going to pick it up. Do yourself a favor and him a favor, too. Teach him how to drive stick after.
In case he wants to go back to 1978 in his time
right.
travel machine.
Listen, yeah. Amazing Race. There's always some leg where you got to drive stick.
Right, enjoy that margarita, Mama.
Thanks.
Mommy's Margarita Friday. What did you do this week to earn your margarita?
I got my 4-year-old to finally start sleeping in her own bed. I want to do like a happy dance. I want to just throw margaritas in the air. I am just overjoyed.
How many nights in a row? Because you don't want to jinx it. Because when you think that they're
seriously
gonna, like, you know, then it all they just come back. You open one eye at 3 o'clock in the morning. They're just standing there like a ghost, staring right at you with their wide eyes.
Okay, don't ruin this for me now.
Sounds like it's been a short week so far.
Yeah,
good luck.
Yeah. Enjoy that margarita.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Brandon and Teresa. Teresa, let's start with you. What's going on?
Hi. So I got this family heirloom passed down to me from my grandfather, and it's been in our family for years and years and years. It's this painting. And it's just kind of been sitting in my room at my house. We got it appraised, and it's somewhere between $15,000
to $17,000.
What? Yeah, it's. I mean, right. And it's been just. It's been in my family for forever. I don't necessarily like. I don't particularly like this painting, but you know, it's a family heirloom. So I don't know that I want to get rid of it.
And Brandon, you want to sell it. First of all, I need to know, like, what is it a picture of?
Okay, yeah, I would really love to sell it. Like, we need the money, and it is the ugliest thing that I've ever seen. It's just a picture of, like, a vase of flowers, and there's nothing, like, particularly interesting about this painting, and we need the money. So, like, why can't we just get rid of it right now? I don't know. Like, I'm really hung up on why can't we get rid of it.
I don't know. Anna, I'm of the opinion something like this falls into your lap, and you haven't known it's been worth it for all this time. I'm thinking if you hold on to it longer, obviously it's going to occur some more value. On the other hand, I'm not somebody who knows how to care for art. So what if I put it in a box and something falls on top of it, or I get a roof leak or something like that? I mean, paper today sounds pretty good.
I don't know. The fact that it's been in her family, like, what would the rest of your family say if you decided to sell it? I mean, obviously somebody's going to ask at some point, like, what happened to that painting? And how did you get it? That seems like a sibling fight waiting to happen.
Three people had to die, and and somebody looked the other way as you moved out, Grandma.
God.
Oh, that's funny. No, it's been in our family forever. It was just what my grandfather left me, like, in his will. No one thought anything of it because, again, we didn't know, you know, how much it was worth. Like, I want to get rid of it, don't get me wrong, because I just don't like it. But at the same time, it's been in my family for so long that should I get rid of it? Like, I don't know. It just seems kind of, like, morally wrong to do.
Fascinating. To me, it's fascinating how much artwork, like, you look from one to the other and they both look the same and one is worth so much and the other isn't worth anything. But we can see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Teresa, that if it is in the family, it got passed to you, you have kind of like a moral obligation to just take care of it and keep it in the family. But they can see Brandon's side, too. You don't like it. It's yours. It was left to you. Just sell it. Take the money and run.
Right. It is a gift, right? I mean, Grandpa would definitely love you to have a brand new bedroom set or a shiny sports car. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Brandon and Teresa just found out that a painting that's been hanging in their bedroom that neither of them like, that she inherited from her grandfather, could be worth $15,000.
Yeah.
What would you do in that situation? They don't even like it that much. They just hold on to it because it was from her grandfather. Would you sell it at that point?
Here's what I'm thinking, all right? Brandon and Teresa, there's always going to be bills due. So, you know, you had no idea that you had anything that was worthwhile days before this, and yet it was still sitting there. It was no problem. Now, all of a sudden that you know that it's worth money, now it's like a burden on you, all right? Mm-hmm. And it seems like he's much more ready to sell it than she is. So, I mean, if she's like, hey, I don't love it, but it came from my family, I mean, why's it got to be now? Doesn't have to be now.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court?
I think I'm on both their sides. They both want to sell it. They just don't know how to do it.
They don't know how to do it without
guilt. I think they should.
That's the difference. You know, she feels guilty about it, and I feel
guilty
about it, too.
Let's have an artist. Let an artist make a duplicate of it, a replica. And then they sell it, and then every time they look at it, they'll remember the money they got and the memory.
I love it. We just picture some guy with the spray paint on the corner in Cancun making up other mock drawings like it'll be exactly the same.
I don't know. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Brandon and Teresa just found out that a painting that Teresa had inherited years ago from her grandfather is worth $15,000. Neither of them even like the painting. So Brandon says, great, let's sell it.
But Teresa feels obligated. She says, it's a family heirloom. While I don't really like it, I mean, it was left to me for a reason. Should I just hold on to it?
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
Hi, I'm on the husband's side today. I think because what they can do is they can take a photo of the painting. They can have that blown up and framed, and they can sell the original and get the money, but they could still enjoy having it in their family.
I mean, it's not a bad plan, except for later on when you have children and then you see that painting on television somewhere and it's worth $2 million now.
It seems very far-fetched.
Oh, my God.
That's what I
never
think.
Thought of you like that.
I mean, it happens, right? Art appreciates if you're able to take care of it. I don't know, you know? I just don't know.
If you're not into art, though, like, what are you doing with this painting?
Here's the thing. If somebody's ready to hand you $15,000 to $20,000, any day of the week, we could all figure out a way to spend that, all right? But you survived up until the time when somebody told you they were about to hand you $15,000, $20,000. So if you just ignore the fact that
I'm
that thing's worth so
I'm
much
on
money.
I'm on the wife's side.
Yeah, see? Great. Now we just change people's minds.
I should have been a lawyer, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Hi, it's Ann Raven. Whose side are you on?
If their finances are good, then I'm on the wife's side. But if they need some bailout money from bills, then I'm on the husband's side.
I always got gold from Italy. When my family would come to visit us from Italy, they would always bring us gold. Necklaces, earrings, that was kind of just the thing. When I was in my early 20s, I sold it because I needed the money because I was in college and had no cash.
Sure.
And I look back and I regret it. Mostly because gold is worth so much more now.
So much more.
Than it was 15, 20 years ago, whenever it was that I sold it.
And it will be worth even more so in 15, 20 years from now.
But I always say that I needed it then. I needed to make ends meet then. So what else was I supposed to do? Do I regret it? Sure. But how else was I going to make ends meet?
Give me something specific you spent that money on. Something specific.
Rent.
Not good enough.
Come on.
You would have found it. You would have found that money elsewhere.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Teresa, our audience agreed with you today. You got to keep it in the family. It just seems right. Morally, you have to do it. Otherwise, it's going to bother you forever that you got rid of it.
Right. Okay. See, that's what I thought. Like, I would feel so guilty if I did that. And imagine I couldn't even pass it down to my own kids. Like, come on.
There goes that money, Brandon. You going to be all right?
No. I mean, I feel like even so, like, here, this is the point I wish I made earlier, that I wish this might have swayed the audience. But, like, if we sell it, this would give a new audience of people, someone who's going to enjoy it, the ability to enjoy it, right? And we're clearly not those people.
I mean, that's a really good point. You should have made that earlier.
I know.
Before you lost.
Too late.
I don't know. If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Can't beat Raven. Jackpot of $700 thanks to Discover Card. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. Jackie, yes. Emma, and Oliver, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Can you please leave the room, Raven?
Sure. Good luck, guys.
All right, team. Here's how it's going to work. Raven is walking out of here. When that big studio door closes, he's not going to be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I bring him back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play, guys?
We think so.
All right, great. Jackpot is $700. Let's do this. Number one, the executive producer of How I Met Your Father has confirmed that the show will take place in the same universe as How I Met Your Mother. Who originally narrated the show, How I Met Your Mother?
That was Bob Saget?
Yes, you got to be faster. Number two, a new potato-shaped planet has been discovered. They're calling it WASP-103b. Which planet is named after the Roman god of the sea?
Neptune?
Number three, a new YouTube record has been reached. Baby Shark has reached 10 billion views. In the song, which shark comes after Baby Shark?
Mommy Shark.
Number four, Prince Andrew has been stripped of all his royal titles, and he will face sexual abuse allegations as a private citizen and not as a royal. He's the Duke of where?
York. Sure?
And number five. Number five. Christina Ricci says her husband chose their newborn daughter's name without telling her. The name is the same name as the last queen of Egypt. What name is that?
Cleopatra? I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Why did you do that on number four? Now I have to make a moral decision. All right, let's bring Raven back in. Gosh. Okay, what do I do? All right.
You.
It's only fair. All right, so Jackie, Emma, and Oliver got 4 out of 5. Still really great.
4 out of 5. Wow, okay. Yeah. Let's see how I do.
They would have gotten all 5, and I had to make a moral decision, Raven, and it made me feel sad inside.
Well, usually means that you're about to BS for somebody, so you probably did the right thing.
All right, number one, the executive producer of How I Met Your Father has confirmed that the show will take place in the same universe as How I Met Your Mother.
Mm-hmm.
Who originally narrated the show How I Met Your Mother?
That's easy, Bob Saget.
Yes. Number two, a new potato-shaped planet has been discovered. They're calling it WASP-103b. Which planet is named after the Roman god of the sea?
It's Neptune.
Yes. Number three, a new YouTube record has been reached. Baby Shark has reached 10 billion views. In the song, which shark comes after Baby Shark?
I'm just going to guess and say Mama Shark.
That is correct.
Yeah!
Number four, Prince Andrew has been stripped of all his royal titles, and he will face sexual abuse allegations as a private citizen and not as a royal. He's the Duke of where?
He's the Duke of York, isn't he?
Yes.
Good luck, buddy.
She said York, and then I started question number five, and she said sure, like Yorkshire.
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
That killed me inside. All right, number five. Christina Ricci says her husband chose their newborn daughter's name without telling her. The name is the same as the last queen of Egypt. What name is that?
Is that Cleopatra?
Yes.
Woo!
All right, we've got Jackie, Emma, Oliver. He beat you 5-4 today. That gets you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Thank you. We can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, guys. Hold on the line. We'll get all your info and send you that shirt.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, guys. $800 on Tuesday, Anna.